Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Contrary to popular opinion, the Megalodon episode was not our final episode.
That was the popular opinion?
It did seem that way this morning. Yeah, there was a consensus out there that
it was just that good.
Well, it was at least, they thought it was Jason's last show.
Gotcha.
Once they saw the final box score of our head-to-head matchup.
Nope, we continue. We chug along and still go for victories.
Thoughts on Gabe Davis in general? Just like general overview, right the back of his football card.
What a blocker.
What a blocker.
Yeah, that was highlighted on the broadcast.
Enjoy these bench points. That would be the... That would be the other.
Is that the tagline for his company? Like Gabe Davis LLC is.
Enjoy these bench points.
Enjoy. And if you put him in your lineup next week.
Oh, enjoy the goose.
Really wild weekend. We had fantasy football drama internally all over the place. Had big fights in dynasty leagues about tanking and starting out players. And, you know, the only thing that grown men can fight about.
Well, you know, one of.
Very, I mean.
We're off of Thanksgiving weekend. We know plenty of things.
Grown American men. it was wild. Turns out Kyren Williams is fine.
Yeah.
He's
healthy.
Seems healthy.
I want to always come back from injuries against the Cardinals. Like, that's kind of my, like, if I get injured, I'm going to look at the schedule and be like, week 18. I'm coming back.
Did Kyren time that out? Like, his injury wasn't that bad, and he was just
for sure.
And he was just tired.
He's like, hey guys, you know, if you put me on IR, I can come back against Cardinals.
I'll be super healthy, guys. Rest me up.
It was definitely a weekend where I felt like the matchups, like, they kind of came true. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, you know, we sit here and players are ranked based on these matchups, and sometimes they overcome them and sometimes they don't. Like this week, it just felt like if you had a great matchup that looked good on paper, there were a lot of players that performed up to those expectations. Suds and duds on today's show. And Brooks, you mentioned the Megalodon episode. We have giveaway winners. When are we announcing those?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Brooks is still sifting through the tweets.
So many
tweets. So, busy weekend. We always ask the Foot Clan on Instagram, which you can follow us over there, instagram.com/fantasyfootballers, also on X at the FF Ballers. We asked for your reactions in pun form.
Mm-hmm.
And we got them.
This is the best form.
I guess we'll start with Pat. Fire Muth.
Oh, the man, the Muth, the legend.
He, in fact, got Luth. We got Ramandre Stevenson.
To infinity and Bijan.
Oh, you had Kyren Thrilliams.
Or I Win Williams.
Or Kai Win Williams.
It's really a self. Who put I Win Williams in here?
I mean, love this player. How about Jalen Hurts?
Jonathan Taylor touchdowns.
Or Rice Baby.
Oh, Rashi, nice.
Or There Was Some Bad with George Little.
Or Dalton Schultz the Bed.
Or Poop Nakua.
Beep, beep. It's the Gus Bust.
There's also a subpar performance from Doo-Doo Metcalf.
Yeah. And Lames Connor.
And finally, Saquon Barfley.
Yeah, that was one of those, not so good. Not so good.
The man can only do so much.
It was a weird week. For those tracking at home, because the tweets were wild, I went into last night's game. Well, Jason had kind of conceded defeat on Thursday because Dak and CeeDee Lamb, we haven't talked because we haven't had a show since
then.
That's
right. We're usually up to date, but Dak and CeeDee went off.
Yeah.
Dak had 40 points in our league while my tight end is Dak's recipient, got one reception.
So we thought it was kind of Jason.
It was a big reception, Jason. Don't take that away from
Jason
me.
Jason yes, already
four
made
his fantasy points.
Made his bed.
Yeah,
dug
I mean,
his grave.
I assumed I was toast then. And
yeah, you changed your avatar in our Slack channel to the word gone.
Yeah.
And with a nice skull.
A nice skull. And then I did gone. I got out of town, went up north, kind of tried to unplug.
Tried to be eaten by a bear.
Slathered myself up in honey, ran around the woods. No bears to be found. They're hibernating.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Bears.
When you want to be eaten and you can't be eaten, can you?
Well, bear's not interested in losers.
It's an embarrassing walk back to the cabin.
What's a real shame is I had mentioned, I believe on the Megalodon episode, that if things went really poorly on Thanksgiving, then that would be the example. I would take Josh Downs out of my lineup, put Gabe Davis in my lineup so that I have more big boom opportunity.
So that came true. Thursday, I dominated.
Mm-hmm. And then I got out of town, forgot to do that as I unplugged, and well, the rest of the week went like a roller coaster. There was one point in time where towards the halftime of yesterday's pre-Sunday night game, which became Sunday night football, it was so late that the Bills-Eagles game
was unbelievable.
It took forever.
It was
a great game, but it took forever.
I thought it was Sunday night football.
It was pitch black out here.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jalen Hurts, my guy, had 6 points at halftime, and all of Andy's players were doing well at halftime. I was projected to lose by 30. This is, you know, the game, and the night's over. We don't even have anybody playing on Monday, so I concede the game. And then Jalen Hurts went off. Davante Adams no longer gets targets in the second half. James Conner does nothing in the second half.
Yeah, where in the world?
It looks like I'm going to win, brother. I mean, I am. All I need is 12 points from Eckler in Sunday Night Football. That's it.
This was the point in time where I drove home very upset. I put into my plan.
Oh, man.
I put into my plan the scientific approach of not watching your opponent's players.
Dude, I mean.
And I did not
tried,
watch.
Tried, true, yeah. Delivered.
I sat outside by the fire.
It's peer reviewed now.
And I contemplated my life choices and my career choices.
Get a science journal.
I would keep your career, Andy, because you won Austin Eckler, which I'm very sad did not have a negative pun today. I would have really enjoyed that. But
awful excrement.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Awful
why you got to do that to Austin?
It feels bad, but also the fumbles probably felt bad too.
The fumbles, the lack of work in the passing game, the touchdowns, the drops.
So I won by five.
You did win by five.
I won by five.
Gabe
Davis was on your bench, and that was there's your update. Mike's just sitting over there alternating between which of us he thinks is more pathetic in our approach to fantasy.
Oh, you're head-to-head. Don't worry.
I've got good competition, right? I'm not just
you guys.
No, it's not just you.
You can cross the finish line together.
Hold hands. So
now this is a cliff. We're going over the cliff.
Now, last thing of personal league before we move on to the week is, as it stands now, it looks like both of us are actually still in the playoffs.
Yeah, so it was all the whining was just not worth it.
So, well, still a couple weeks to go. TBD.
Oh, my.
So
we have more weeks.
Yeah, you got more weeks of this. Sorry,
great.
Yeah, so there you go. There's your update. There's your puns. I mean, I asked the question this morning because we got some news like that we'll talk about as well. But how much money is Austin Ekeler losing right now? Because he's going to be a free agent.
He's going to be retired.
Is that? I mean, do you genuinely believe that?
Like, it really depends.
He seems like he's hurt. Like he's playing through injury.
I think it depends on Austin himself, the human, whether he wants to take a lower salaried veteran type thing to go be a committee back. If that's what he wants, he'll get an offer with that. It seems like very unlikely that a team would go out and based on his great, incredible career at this stage, age, and running back financial landscape that they're going to go, hey, here's a nice big bada boom 3-year contract. Like it's just not
to be a starter. Yeah, no, that he's still this Austin Ekeler's way better than Michael Carter. This Austin Ekeler's way better than a bunch of the third down backs that get snaps here and there. If, like you said, he's willing to accept that. But from dynasty perspective,
yeah,
did we get the cliff?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the, you know, our main league is a keeper league. He is one of my keepers from this last season. And I'm not sure if he's going in that lottery or not. We don't know who he plays for next year.
That was the crazy part. Our entire matchup maybe came down to the back and forth Ekeler Saquon situation. Both players stunk this week. Mike, how'd you do? You have a good week?
Personally?
No. Yeah, no, professionally.
No. Professionally we did all right. Yeah.
Yeah, starts the week we're okay.
Yeah, they did all right.
Yeah, pretty nice. So we got big news to talk about.
Yeah.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, the big news this morning, the Panthers fired head coach Frank Reich. Carolina is 1-10. Their owner, David Tepper, has now fired three head coaches, mm-hmm. including two mid-season.
Yeah, back-to-back years.
So, that mid-season back-to-back years is impressive.
It really is.
And this really seems like when it happens after the game, to me that's like, you know, that's angry man walking into a room.
Mm-hmm.
That's very reactionary. And so you've seen at least 2 years where that's happened after losses.
There's a lot of excitement when David Tepper took over this franchise in 2018. This is someone that's going to come in, wants to spend money, wants to be aggressive. Things that I think fan bases really, really like. The thing that I think the fan base is starting to get upset about is the tinkering, the toy,
he's got himself a temper.
You want the owner that will be aggressive, that will pay, write the blank checks, all that. But you also want him to not meddle. And you want them to let the football people do football things. And
have patience.
Yeah, have a little bit of patience. So it's interesting. I'm sure Jeff Saturday's calling up Tepper now. I mean, like, look, last year I took over. The Colts are doing good.
Sounds like you got a leadership problem. These men need a leader.
It is. I mean, if you really look at the situation, and we can talk about Bryce Young's dynasty. We can talk about the mess of wide receivers that they have, the offensive line problems. It seems like if you say something negative this week about Bryce Young or about Kyler Murray, all I get is they have no help, they have no O-line, they have no blah, blah, blah. I am curious what the expectations could have been for Carolina at this stage of, you know, you got 11 games played, you have a rookie quarterback, you have definitely got a support issue around him. Like, is David Tepper happy at 3-7? I mean, I just don't know where. Seems like unfair expectations for Frank Reich to a degree.
I think it's not a matter of the record, to be honest. I think it's a matter of what you're seeing on the field. And what you're seeing on the field is truly horrific. Like, uncompetitive. They are as bad as any team, you know, gets. They put up 10 points against the Titans when they had opportunities all game, and they couldn't do anything, and that's pretty much what they've done the whole season.
And your boy, Mike, Adam Thielen.
Not
a lot of opportunities.
Your man. Your grandpa.
So Frank Reich is out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Also, I mean,
honestly, this is...
It's irrelevant news to me for the assets of fantasy. I mean, right now it's hard to even feel comfortable starting Adam Thielen, and he's been the only potential starter for fantasy here. Going forward, you know, TBD on who they're going to hire. They're just going to have an interim, and then in the offseason, they'll find someone that hopefully can fix Bryce Young the way that we saw with Trevor Lawrence. You know, he had a rookie season that was really bad with Urban Meyer, and they said, hey, we got to go find the right person, make the move quick, and resurrect that the hope of that, you know, first overall draft pick.
He seems to be, though, a delightful boss. Like, I would...
Tepper?
Like, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you better produce. Frank Reich was 10-1. He never would have been fired. Mark Andrews on IR.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers could begin practicing next week, still targeting a week 16 return.
Why?
Oh, I remember why now.
Oh, okay.
Because it's about him.
Yeah, okay.
When I said he wouldn't come back, I thought he'd be putting like the team in 2024 like in first place. But now he gets to go and be like, to me, this is, isn't it about the headline now? You came back super quick.
What week is he targeting?
16.
Week
16. Allegedly.
Well, of course it's gonna be week 16, not 17. You want to come back against the Manders or the Browns? This is another target the right matchup.
Right.
I don't get it. Tim Boyle, though, he's going to keep starting.
Huh?
I told you, I don't think Robert Saleh's the guy, man. David Tepper needs to get in there quick.
I
can't stand Robert Saleh.
Really?
Yeah,
I like him a lot. I think he's a good coach.
I've turned on him. No.
Describe that for me, because I don't know how this is his fault. He's got, you know, he's a defensive-minded head coach who has his defense being...
No, you're the head coach.
Top three.
Yeah,
that's
know.
Fine.
You've got a great defense. I get it.
But you have no quarterback. You've been given no quarterback. The general manager needs to be fired here for not going out and trading for a Josh Dobbs or signing a Carson Wentz off the street or doing something early in the season. I mean,
he's not the only one to blame by any stretch of the imagination. He's also been dealt, you know, the injury card this year. But you have lost your locker room 2 years in a row. I mean,
but what could he have done?
He could have
pivoted to Tim Boyle
last year
earlier.
He could not have done anything.
He could have made changes earlier. Yeah,
last year. You can't take the number two overall pick and just be like, okay, we're already done with you in the middle of the season.
But that would have been the better move, because he lost the locker room and they had to do it by default. Like both seasons,
maybe.
He's waited too long to make changes. And, you know, I don't think he's made good decisions from a head coaching perspective on this team. And
like, what is going on with Trevor Siemian?
Right. He must have lost his right arm. Like, he has to have. Because if you're sitting here watching Tim Boyle,
oh,
I mean,
God.
There's a reason that you didn't move off of Zach Wilson. It was because the backup was Tim Boyle. But Trevor Simeon's been on the practice squad, and that guy can actually play football. The beat reporters...
One time he could.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm saying he must have lost his arm. Because if they're saying, hey, we're sticking with Tim Boyle, they must be seeing something bad.
There is some accountability to... Like, I don't know what happens behind the scenes. But everything that Robert Saleh has done for 2 years is he goes out there and goes to bat for Zach Wilson for X amount of weeks. He's accountable for that. If you go to the general manager and say, this guy doesn't have it in week two when you've seen him last year... Isn't that an evaluation standpoint? You're in practice every day. Like, this guy doesn't have a go get me Carson Wentz. This guy doesn't have a go get me Jacoby Brissett. This guy doesn't have a go get... I mean, they spent the money on Aaron Rodgers and other pieces. So that's the part that I hold him accountable to.
Yeah, 100% you're right there. We just don't know that didn't happen. You know
correct,
what I mean? Like,
correct.
We don't know that publicly he's not saying, hey, we support Zach Wilson. He's a great guy. We think we see a lot we like. And then behind the scenes going like, get me someone that can play quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Jets fans. I really do.
Yeah, the window of such a great defense is like those things just don't last forever. We saw it years ago with the Jacksonville Jaguars when they had that unfathomably otherworldly defense, and you thought that would just stick around, and then the next year you wait too long, and they're just not good at defense anymore.
Maybe that's why Rodgers needs to come back. If you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe to invigorate a team and a fan base and give them hope for the next year.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Or you get hurt again, and that'd be a long summer.
Oh, man.
Bunch of injuries yesterday. Chris Olave exited with a concussion. Rashid Shaheed left early. That blew up some DFS for me, that Rashid Shaheed injury, because he was cheap.
Yeah, and Olave was dominating.
Yeah, he had a
good game even with the exit.
Yeah, 40. He played less than half of the game. And he ended 7 for 114 and then went up for a really bad throw and ended up landing on his head.
Amari Cooper exited with a rib injury late. That didn't look good. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, concussion. PJ Walker came in. He looked exactly the same as who he is.
Yeah, it's probably Joe Flacco time.
Javonte Williams left and returned. Same with Etienne and Baker Mayfield and then Cooper Kupp. What do you do with Cooper Kupp right now?
I don't know, man.
Well, it wasn't just Kupp. I mean, both Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua had down games.
Well, he combined for about 40 yards receiving or something.
But Stafford had a down game, too.
No. What?
That's the point.
Oh, he's being sarcastic.
That is the point. How do the Rams put up 37 points? I mean, yes, Kyren Williams, what?
Higbee got two touchdowns.
Exactly.
Yeah,
are you doing to us, Matthew?
That's mean. It was unfortunate that it happened that way. Obviously, Stafford ended up with a top 10 performance, had four passing touchdowns. They just didn't go to the right players.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like legitimately.
But
so,
it's been a little bit since.
It's been
Cooper
a lot
Kupp's,
of it.
It's been a lot of bit?
Yeah, I'm looking at the box score right now. Cooper Kupp came back in week 5. All was well, 118 yards. The next week against Arizona, 148 and a touchdown. But since then, 29 yards, 21. Those were both fully healthy games.
Well, not for Stafford. Week 8,
sure, yeah,
week
yeah,
8 Stafford I'm, left in the middle of the game and then week
right,
9.
Right, but I'm just reading Cooper Kupp's numbers. The week after that was 2 for 48, 84% of the game. So most of the game, that's maybe he could have fixed it at the very end. And then another hurt game with 11 yards, and now another full game with 18 yards.
I
don't know what
you
do.
Were on Sunday Live on YouTube. I was in here listening, and you gave the same advice that I would have given in your shoes, which is that when Cooper Kupp is active and you're facing Arizona.
Yeah, I'm playing him.
Like, you have both sides of the coin here. You have the side where you're like, okay, Kyren Williams is back from injury. Just put the faith in the matchup off of an injury, and he's the best player on the week. Then you have Cooper Kupp, who's one of the best receivers in football, if not the best, and coming off an injury, and you put the faith in the matchup, and it doesn't work out.
And your quarterback had 229 yards and 4 passing touchdowns.
And now you go now you're playing against the Cleveland Browns, and so how do you have the confidence in Cooper Kupp having had a bad month and a half, partially with injury, but he's still dealing with it. We saw him go out and into the game.
Well, and they play Cleveland, Baltimore?
Yeah, that's what I mean. How are you going to be able to be confident starting him? And how do you bench him?
Well, I mean, I think...
I mean, it's an impossible situation.
I mean, you're going to have to make...
How do you play him? How do you not play him?
Yeah, can you half play?
I think you just cut him. I don't know. I can't handle this.
This is your decision now.
I like the idea of having a fantasy football league where it is all about the like mental peace of mind.
Yeah, that's
it. You just get rid of the most difficult decisions you have. You just cut them off the team.
Mm-hmm.
You just play the most pedestrian. So
you're someone else's problem.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. We're going to take a quick break and get into the studs and duds.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things, like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not, but our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers. rocketmoney.com/footballers.
You got my head spinning with that whole, what if you had a league where if someone gets injured, they have to be dropped?
Oh, man, that's not fair.
All right, let's walk through this week, see what we got going forward.
Studs of the Week, presented by NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube and YouTube TV.
Well, let's start with the game of the week. I mean, the Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts head-to-head matchup, it was absolutely incredible. Field Yates put it out there on Sunday. Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen became the first opposing quarterbacks in NFL history to have multiple passing touchdowns and multiple rushing touchdowns in the same game. Josh Allen was a monster. I mean, 29 for 51, 339 and two rushing touchdowns, 81 yards on the ground. This game had a 48.5 point over-under. And when you got to halftime, you're like,
that was toast.
You're like, what is... Like, all the hopes, all the dreams, all the expectations, all the DFS, all the, everything.
Everything was super disappointing, and there was a reason for it. You had awful weather. You know, this was a rainy game where it didn't seem like anything was going to click. And you saw this the previous week with the Eagles and Kansas City. You had Mahomes versus Jalen Hurts in a weather rainy game, and it just never, at the end of that game, you were still pretty disappointed. So this one was... not one you saw the second half and overtime going the way it did, but it was pretty awesome for fantasy considering Dak Prescott threw for 331 and four touchdowns, and he's the quarterback three on the week.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts, 18 for 31, 200 yards passing, three touchdowns, 14 for 65, two on the ground, including the game winner. We're sitting in here watching it yesterday. Mike and I were both facing Jalen Hurts going, it's like you... No, it did not hurt so good. It hurt so bad.
I mean, it depends on which side of the game you're on. Cause...
And we're watching this game, and it's like everything that you – if you wanted something to happen in Jalen Hurts' favor, it was happening. I mean, he was making third and longs, converting them. He was scrambling, and he didn't look himself scrambling. Like, his knee is clearly bothering him, and it didn't matter. And, I was telling Mike in the middle of that game, I'm like, dude, if they kick a field goal here, they're going to lose this game.
Talking about the Bills overtime.
The Bills in overtime, which now – Josh Allen is 0-5 in overtime since the rules have changed.
What a loser.
In his favor. Or in because of that game where he did not get the opportunity after the field goal to go down and win the game.
And that loser, Dak Prescott, like you said, third this week. Mike started the week 331-4 on Thanksgiving. It was a great performance.
Top three quarterback in five of the last six starts. There's no one in fantasy who's been more valuable than Dak Prescott.
I tweeted, Mike, I don't know if you saw it.
I did. I gave you a heart. I appreciate
it. Oh, did you?
It.
I tweeted you some credit. That second half sleeper, Dak Prescott. I mean, look at the matchups coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Seattle.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia.
Heck, yeah.
Buffalo.
Dude, yes.
I mean.
Miami. Keep going. Detroit. That's the entire season. I mean. There's no matchup that is like a neutral matchup. They're all positive for the quarterback.
I remember at the trade deadline, Mike tried to send me like Tua for cheap, and I was like, why? I'm just playing Dak every game. I'm like, I'm not touching somebody else. CJ Stroud, he's on, like, I have my list of players I don't like watching, and I tweet that weekly, and Mac Jones took his rightful place on the top of that throne. Bryce Young, though, making his first appearance. Well, not that it should have been his first, but there were other players. I mean, Derek Carr looked pretty terrible yesterday, too. But at the top of the players I want to watch play football on every down, CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud, another 300-yard game, two more touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, just barely, and I mean barely, failed to come back in this game because a 60-yard field goal went off the center, the upright. He's the quarterback 4 in fantasy since week 3. And you watch what happens in their line. Like, he'll move around. He just moves around until somebody comes open. It's the most Mahomesian kind of quarterback play I've seen in a while, if I'm honest. Like, he does not look to run. He looks to take time until one of his very talented receivers breaks open, which they always do.
And when I was scouting him for the NFL draft season, the superpower that I thought he had is I've never seen someone more accurate on the move. When he is running, scrambling, not like, you know, and he throws the ball while running. It's pinpoint. It's exactly where the ball needs to be every single time.
Yeah, he had a 50-something yard catch to Tank Dell called back in this game too.
He did have one kind of boneheaded decision there on the was like
taking
the,
a sack or
no when they it was
oh yeah
third,
it was,
third and short or fourth
no, no,
it was fourth
it was fourth and it one
was,
and he threw
it was fourth and one and then and he chucks up a bomb and it was
oh I love it baby
it was. CJ, just get the first
He wasn't
down.
On the run enough for it to be accurate on that one. But look, let's talk Dynasty. Who do you want? Like, where is CJ Stroud in the hierarchy of Dynasty quarterbacks at this
he's
point?
He's rocketing up.
Yeah, he is rocketing up. He's still below
Hurts, Allen, Mahomes,
all the
Herbert.
Super mobile quarterbacks. Yeah, those guys I would have above him.
Kyler or Stroud?
I think Kyler for fantasy. I still think Kyler's running is going to... But
does that mean you put Kyler ahead of Herbert?
He's in that same tier to me.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
He's in the tier with those guys. You Lamar.
Connected to Tank Dell for multiple years now because they're both rookies together.
And this is one of the things where you don't need Bryce Young to be as good as what you've seen from C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud has looked like an absolute superstar, but the excuses of... Well, you don't have the greatest weapons. You don't have a good offensive line. And it's like, well, yeah, now at this point, we're like, well, Tank Dell's a superstar. Nico Collins is a superstar. These guys weren't, you know what I mean? Like, the Tank Dell was drafted behind Jonathan Mingo, who, you know, the money given to Adam Thielen is more than anyone that's on the Houston Texans, more than Nico Collins. So it's like, are the weapons – making C.J. Stroud, I think C.J. Stroud's taking advantage of the weapons a little bit more.
The Bears traded the number one pick, which was Bryce Young, and they received D.J. Moore. They received the first-round pick, which is their offensive tackle. They received a second-round pick, which is their cornerback. Then they got another first-round pick, which is now – right now it's the number one pick.
Yeah, it's Caleb Williams.
And they're going to either take Caleb Williams or – I mean – Or you have
trade it for
rebuild.
Another haul. I mean, if they trade that pick for a haul, that means that their number one pick got traded for just like 10 assets. Oh, by the way, another second rounder in that mix as well. It's wild. When you play the game of quarterbacks and you lose, you die. Trevor Lawrence, another big game thanks to the rushing touchdown on top of a passing touchdown. Calvin Ridley looks good right now with Zay Jones back.
It was.
Although he did drop a wide open touchdown.
He dropped a wide open touchdown, and it was weird. I'm pretty sure he had no yards in the first half, and like everything Calvin Ridley did was in the second. He's a weird guy right now.
Stafford had the big game. Let's talk running backs. Kyren Williams, 16 for 143 on the ground, 6 for 61 and 2 through the air.
200 yards.
So that's where all the yards that Cup and Nacua didn't get went. Also, Higbee, 2 touchdowns. But Cleveland, Baltimore the next 2 weeks. So
you're going to start him.
Yes.
He's, you know, this isn't a debatable, I'm not sure, the matchup is bad, let me look at who else I should have in there. Kyren is getting so much volume. He's a workhorse. He's looked great. I would not be benching Kyren.
It is. He has taken advantage of the best matchups, that's for sure. I mean, the last two games he's played were against Arizona, where he was the running back 2 and running back 1.
He was RB4 against the 49ers in week 2.
Yes, he was. I believe he was on a 6 touchdowns and 6 games streak in that run. So I'm not saying don't bench him. I'm just saying 37 points might not be in the cards for the next two weeks. Christian McCaffrey,
37 points is probably in the cards
for him
every week for Christian.
Philly, doesn't matter.
Tough matchup. Don't care.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson, 16 for 91 and a touchdown, six targets, caught one through the air. It's the first 20-point fantasy game of the year.
Getting red zone work and, not surprisingly, scoring touchdowns on them because he's really, really good. And, look, Arthur, I mean, I said this right before they went to bye, but it's like he might be self-reflecting, okay?
Maybe.
Like, I know we've coined him the butthole, but I've watched more press conferences with Arthur Smith this year than I think of any coach I've ever watched. I know his voice so well now. If I hear him on a radio station while I'm driving, I know immediately that's Arthur. And I hate to say this.
Don't you dare. No.
But I kind of like some of his logic sometimes, and I'm seeing good things. I feel like
he's an Arthur sympathizer.
Maybe it's like Loki or like the Scarlet Witch, where it's like he's a bad guy, but he can do some good. You know, like maybe look, I mean, if
the Sith take over the universe, it'll be pretty good.
I'm just saying, we got to give credit.
Kyle, you're on the microphone, right?
I am.
And you're a lifelong born and bred, you know, bleed Falcons red type of guy. You buy any of this from Jason?
I like Jason's optimism. I'm not going to lie. It's refreshing.
Now, are they in the playoffs right now?
They are.
They're leading the division.
Under 500.
Yeah. I think he had a very, like when I saw the end of that game and Arthur Smith was handshaking and high-fiving, that was a man very relieved to get back into the win column. But you know what? Using your best players, kind of one of the keys that I've always had.
It is.
Mike, when you coach your kids' league, do you often focus on the better players for victories?
When I'm allowed to.
I guess you might have some.
It's a rec league, so we have some. We have some. Yeah. But when you get to the playoffs.
Is that what Arthur thinks this is?
Maybe. Next week is going to be must-watch television at the New York Jets. For the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, man.
I will legit be pumped to watch that game.
Because of Bijan?
No, just for all of the implications. Like, they're off of a three-game losing streak.
Yeah.
And if they go...
They're favored on the road.
And if they go lose to the Jets team that I just watched play on Black Friday, I mean, that'll be incredible.
Well, all right. Well, Isaiah Pacheco, 15 for 55... Two touchdowns, five catches, just a solid day's work.
Yeah, very, very involved. He, you know, when you get 20 opportunities and you're getting passing work and you're on a great offense, you keep rolling. This next week against Green Bay is a very plus matchup for running backs.
Enjoyed everybody tweeting at me how bad my start of the week Raheem Mostert was. Halfway through, three quarters of the way through the game.
But he was not a bad start.
No, 20 for 94, two touchdowns, closing it out strong. Woo! Thank goodness. Gets to play Washington.
One of the most hilarious touchdowns he wasn't sure he wanted to score that last one.
Is that what that was?
Yes.
When he was running parallel
when he got through the whole line with the time running out, he was looking around trying to see.
Am I allowed to do this?
Do I finish this touchdown? Do I lay down? What am I supposed to do here? And I guess he didn't get any signs, so he just scored a touchdown.
It's like Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers waved it off.
He's like, I know you told me to get down, but I need this.
Yeah.
He should not have scored that touchdown, but fantasy managers are very happy he did.
Two touchdowns for him as well.
Yeah.
I guess we'll talk about him. Jonathan Taylor, two touchdowns. Josh Jacobs with the breakaway dominant first half, and then goodbye. Heading to the bye. And they lost. Derrick Henry, two touchdowns. Hey, Mike's start of the week, the Yeti.
The snow in Vermont is undefeated.
Tony Pollard,
hey,
scored again. Ramondre, the man, the plan.
He looked very, very good.
21 for 98, touchdown.
Yeah, got a touchdown. Got five targets, caught all five of them. Did not get to 10 receiving yards, but
the fact that Stevenson put up the game that he put up with the amount of turnovers that the Patriots had from both of their quarterbacks. I mean, that's a great game.
There was a point yesterday morning, Mike and I were in the studio, Jason was out of town, and six games were on.
Oh, gosh.
And we were like a quarter through these games.
Yeah.
There had not been a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I mean, Zappi and Mac Jones were taking turns throwing the worst interceptions you ever seen. Tommy DeVito was like trying to get his best sack posture in place before the hit. I mean, some gross football yesterday morning.
But winner, Tommy DeVito.
Winner, sorry. Yes. Chuba Hubbard had a monster
what?
Game.
Chuba.
Chuba had 5 targets, 5 for 47. There was a lot of check down Charlie stuff going on, 14 for 45 and a touchdown on the ground. In fact, Miles Sanders had more carries. So if you're looking at like what could change with the head coaching change, like you could see more Miles Sanders. He was awful, but you could see more. And then Najee Harris ended up 15 for 99 and a touchdown. The offense in Pittsburgh put up yards for the first time in a long, long time.
Yeah, weird.
Guess who they play next week?
Oh, no, for real? Are they Arizona?
Arizona.
Oh, my goodness.
So Najee and Warren, shall we claim them as starts of the week already?
I'll go Najee.
I'll take Warren.
Dang it.
If you didn't see the run, Pittsburgh already favored by 5.5. If you did not see the Najee run where it's an incredible highlight. It's the normal
it
thing.
It made no sense.
No. He runs forward, gets a good gain, runs into the pile, and it becomes the huge pile of, I don't know, like 10 guys all trying to push each other backwards or forward. The pile kind of moves, and then the pile disintegrates, but remaining is Najee Harris, who then runs like another 15 yards.
It's like one of those cartoons, you know, when the cartoon
the
fight happens, and it's a big dust pile, and then it keeps going, but somebody comes out the other end and just keeps going.
Yeah, it's Najee.
It was very funny. Mike Evans, 2 more touchdowns, 6 for 70.
Is on fire.
Almost had a third. I mean, before the week, he was the wide receiver 7 on the year.
What a great call.
I'm very happy that worked out. I mean, he's just been so consistent, too. At this point in the year, he is he in double-digit touchdown range yet? No, he's at 9. 850 yards receiving already with 6 games left, and seems to be the go-to guy for a team that has now lost 6 of 7.
Hmm.
And every game, it seems like Baker has a chance to come back.
Yeah, they're in most of these games. They don't seem like a bad team to me.
They get to play Carolina next week.
And they'll prove my point.
Tyreek Hill, 12 targets, unstoppable. Jalen Waddle, big game, 8 for 114 on Black Friday. Did you guys watch the Black Friday game?
Yeah, I sure did. I made myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't the best watch.
Zay Flowers, 2 touchdowns, 1 through the air, 1 on the ground, and not a lot of yards.
No. The touchdowns saved the day here.
The consolidation happened with the absence of Mecole Hardman, the absence of Kadarius Toney, and then one monstrous play. Rashi Rice, baby, 10 targets, 8 for 107 and a touchdown. Every time he's touched the ball this entire year, I think everybody has watched and said, why isn't he touching the ball more? And sometimes it's really discouraging because the way he touches the ball is the screen game, and you're just like, does he not have the ability to score? I mean, even, let's just be fair, like the Rashi Rice touchdown was one of those, crossing routes 5 yards from the line of scrimmage, and he just turned the corner and turned on the Jets, and it was a monstrous touchdown. But, you know, for whatever reason, he's not super involved downfield. But when you take away some of the other options, it paid big dividends.
For Dynasty and for the rest of the season, the fact that he's not really used downfield as much as you would hope for, you know, a primary wide receiver, that gives him an easy and clear path of being upgraded for fantasy, for just, you know, being more involved in the offense, because he can. I don't believe that we've seen anything that says he can't be used successfully down the field. We've seen a couple good deeper plays on the season. They're just manufacturing short yardage touches for not just him, for the whole offense. I'm really disappointed with, I mean, you can't argue too much. They scored 31 points and they're still a great team, great offense, the Chiefs are, but I do feel like you look at all the stats post Tyreek Hill leaving and it's like Patrick Mahomes is just, everything is a check down, everything is a screen, everything is an underneath, shorter than 15 yards. It's like,
let's have the discussion, because you're going to have, I mean, you bring up a good point, Jason. Patrick Mahomes has 2 games where he has finished inside the top six. Okay? Two out of 12. Or, I'm sorry, two out of 11 games.
Yeah.
Even this past week, you finished at quarterback eight, which is fine, but it's 20 points. 16, 15, 5, 33. That was great against the Chargers. 17, 19, 13, 25, 21, 19. Do you have confidence? Because you always have. Do you have confidence going into your fantasy playoffs, locking Mahomes into your lineup?
That's
I think it's a really hard question.
It's tough because to bench Mahomes, you would have to have high level of confidence in the replacement. So
it's
like
got
to
be
had,
like Dak.
If you had picked up Dak, I think the only other name I can think
there
of.
There is another one. Yeah.
The only other name I could think of that's like you could easily have him available.
Sure.
C.J. Stroud.
Because C.J. Stroud's just been way better for fantasy.
I was in a league where a few weeks ago the manager had Mahomes and Stroud. Offered me Stroud at the time. I turned the trade down. Offered me Mahomes instead. Took the trade.
Whoops.
Maybe whoops.
Yeah.
Their defense is very good.
They're also just, they're not.
Their fantasy playoffs are in New England, then Las Vegas and Cincinnati.
They're not scoring the way they usually
do. Las Vegas is not a great matchup for quarterbacks usually. Cincinnati is a great matchup. What was the first week
New
of
England.
Playoffs? New England's fine. New England just stinks. If you want to see C.J. Stroud's, you're talking about at Tennessee, which is a very good matchup for quarterbacks. Then Cleveland, not good. And then, of course, Tennessee again because that Texans, Titans.
I think what you're lacking are the battles. I mean, the Charger game was much more of a, you know, like we saw with Philadelphia and Buffalo. But you're not having teams put up big points against them. And
that's my worry.
Like, that's the concern I have.
After week three, I started talking about I've got massive worry about Mahomes because this defense is legit. And that if he doesn't get into shootouts, he can go out and put up 40 fantasy points. We know that. But he might not need to. And they might just say, hey, let me give Pacheco another 15 carries and five dump-offs. And those dump-offs, they go a little bit to Mahomes, but they're not going to score as much. They keep the clock moving. They keep the Chiefs winning. They don't put points up for fantasy the same way.
Devontae Smith, 7 for 106 and a touchdown. Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Nico did the work in the second half. Tank Dell did the work in the first half. Both scored.
I couldn't believe Tank Dell seemed like he was going to end the game with 700 yards and 12 touchdowns the way it started, but he did disappear the second half.
It was very troubling. I had a lot of players disappear and not even perform in the second half. I felt like, Jason, you were casting spells or mixing some sort of brew over wherever you were. You just stopped all the second halves, man.
I genuinely, by that point, all hope had been lost. Like, I didn't even care at that point. I wasn't even, like, hopeful. I was just like, okay, let's move on to next week.
Gabe Davis, 6 for 105 and a touchdown.
He's back, baby. Shove him in your lineups. Just kidding. He's on bye.
Yeah, thank goodness. Stephon Diggs, 6 for 74 yes, and a touchdown. Thank goodness. Bye week is the favorite. It's my favorite week to have Gabe Davis on my roster.
Oh, man.
Which I would never do.
If he was starting next week, like, that's so,
people will chase that.
Oh, I will chase. I'm like, no, I can't do it. I'm so happy he's on bye.
When are you actually happy?
Like, I'm genuinely happy that my player is unavailable.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Calvin Ridley, big game. Yeah. Debo, nice game. It was cool to see. Watson, 5 for 94 and a touchdown. Yeah. This one made sense to me just because you had some injuries at the wide receiver room, but nice to see it happen.
I mean, I get that. What didn't make sense was the Packers dominating.
Just
absolutely throttling the Lions.
I mean, that was a shock.
What is going on with Jared Goff?
Yeah, he hasn't looked great.
He was
last
thinking
two.
About that turkey and gravy. Maybe. His mind was not in the game.
I mean, 2 weeks ago you had the three pick game against I think it was the Bears, and they were horrifically bad. And then
at home,
and then the whole first half, Jared Goff looked like he totally forgot how to play quarterback. It was a very, very strange situation.
Michael Pittman, 13 targets. 10 for 107.
Also, update. Had I made that trade and put Michael Pittman over Josh Downs, I also win.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well.
But to be fair to myself, I told you I regretted it way before this. I said I was wrong, and I was just proven.
That's why I only said, hmm.
If you could go back.
If I could go back, I would take the trade and I would win. And I would have Michael Pittman. Well, I'm a dummy.
Keenan
Such
Allen.
Such an idiot. Why didn't I do it?
Mike might pay more attention to his vindictive stat tracking than he does his own team.
Yeah.
Over the course
Who
of
does
the,
it? Way more fun.
As a, over the course of the weekend, we're like, Mike was turned down on multiple Pittman trades, and he's just tracking each of those teams' scores to see the player they chose to go with over Pittman. Whether it wasn't just you. I mean, he was tracking another guy in our league.
Oh, man.
Just to see if he could dunk on him.
It's my start of the week, and also going up against Tennessee, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh the next 3 weeks.
Would be a great
Hope
guy to
have. Hope you have Michael Pittman.
Great guy to have.
Yeah.
16 more targets for Keenan Allen. He can't do it alone, though. But he can do it for your fantasy team.
He sure tried, and he sure was alone.
Here we are. Austin
Eckler doesn't exist. Quentin Johnston, another drop.
Doesn't exist.
He just has no weapons there.
Have you seen the memes going around? Because Quentin Johnston's the one who...
Huge also got banged up.
Huge had the... at the draft, he told his mom to quit her job and she'll never have to work again. And
it's nice.
I hope that's true.
Tyler Higbee, 2 touchdowns out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Pat Freiermuth. This was the big story.
Yes.
Yeah, baby.
9 for 120. The first... I mean, honestly, did he have 120 yards?
On the season?
I believe he had 60 total yards or so.
I'm on it.
He was on pace for 200 yards on the season.
Yep, he had 60 yards.
Yeah, and then he was 9 for 120. You know, you could call it an outlier if this had happened under Matt Canada, but maybe, just maybe, they made it a focus to throw it to the middle of the field. If you look at the passing charts under Matt Canada, it was all to the boundary. And that was the problem. Pat Freiermuth is not running routes at the boundary.
And I will say that, you know, Cincinnati's one of those matchups that we've targeted all year. They're great. You know, they can't stop the tight end position. So I'm very hopeful that this is offensive changes with Canada out and having a really talented. I mean, that was what we talked about when we talked about the trade I made for Freiermuth is like he is talented. Pat Freiermuth is a very good NFL tight end.
Yes, he is.
And if they choose to use him that way, he will be successful. They chose to use him this way. You hope that going forward, this is the new normal as opposed to just the game plan against Cincinnati. But I could see either one being true.
And then nice games from Laporta and Kelsey again this week. Thanks again to our sponsor of the Studs. We're talking NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube and YouTube TV with NFL Sunday Ticket. It's never been easier to keep up with all of your fantasy players and Gabe Davis. Watch the rest of the NFL season for half the price at $174 when bundled with YouTube TV. Sign up at youtube.com/fantasyfootballers. Terms and embargoes apply. No refunds.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
Well, Tua?
Yeah.
Brock Purdy?
Well, just hold on. Because Tua, to me, Tua, go rewind like 3 weeks ago or so. He was one of the 6 quarterbacks where you're like, no, I'm good. I put Tua in no matter what's going on. And, you know, since week 8, he was the QB9 at just under 22 points, then 12.5, then 17, now 8.
I didn't like the schedule over the back half of the year at all.
Yeah, but I'm saying it was a rough schedule, but it's Tyreek, it's Jalen Waddle, Tua can have these huge explosive games. Is it back to I'm really looking at the matchups? I mean, Washington Tennessee should
be fine. Your playoffs
are
the Jets, Dallas, and Baltimore. That's a problem.
From here, I think Tua gets you to the playoffs because Washington and Tennessee are the next 2 weeks should be great. But the playoff weeks, if you can find someone else that you're confident in, maybe make plans in case you see something along the way that says, yeah, I've got a better option for a great matchup in week 15.
Purdy disappointed. Justin Herbert is...
not his fault.
He's just all alone, man. He's just all alone doing his best. But he got, Keenan had a fumble, Eckler had a fumble. They didn't have possession of the ball.
Four turnovers, I think. Oh, my gosh. That whole first half, it was like they had the ball 90 seconds. I'm just watching, waiting for Eckler to do something, and he can't because the second they get the ball, they play fast, too. So it was like they are moving. They are
like
on the line.
Their three and outs are fast.
Their three and outs are like, I hope you didn't go to the bathroom because you're not going to understand why Baltimore has the ball again.
No, their players went to the bathroom instead. Lamar Jackson. There are weeks you don't need him. You just don't.
Yep.
He's got a little bit of the same Mahomes issue with the defense being really good. Shootouts are what you want, and there's not been a lot of shootouts for Kansas City or Baltimore.
And to be fair, like the Chargers defense looked really good. They were bottling up. I mean, you talk about like you don't need him. They kind of did here. They only scored 20 points, and that really was the majority of the game. They were, you know, in the teens.
I'm going to say some tough stuff now because we're moving on to running backs. Well, the last 4 weeks, Breece Hall, 16 for 50, 13 for 28, 10 for 23, 7 for 25, 2.7 a carry over 4 weeks. Breece Hall is finished 27, 30, 13, 29, 7 receptions for 24 yards.
Yeah, 9 targets from Tim Boyle is why I'm not worried because – over the last several weeks, the place where he's given you good games is in the receiving work. So I'm happy with the targets. You're concerned for sure.
He might not win your league.
No, I agree with that. He is not a superstar when the offense can't score 15 points.
It's crazy. I mean, he's very much – he's in the Saquon situation, which is up next, which is, you know, Saquon was 12 for 46. The disappointing thing here was you only got 3 targets to Saquon. Mm-hmm. He only had 1 catch, so it was a huge – now he goes on bye and not going to help you this upcoming week. Eckler, Gus Bus.
Eckler is concerning, like because
– is that 2 single-digit games in a row?
Breece, yes, it is. Breece –
32 and 34.
It looks explosive still. You know, you see usually every game he's got some 50-yard run come back on a hold. But he, you know, he looks the part. He's just usually got 5 guys around him. Eckler right now looks like something is wrong. He does not look explosive or
his yards
special.
Per carry down from 4.5 to 3.8.
Yeah, and even in the receiving game, it just he's got a lot of drops. He's fumbled it back to back weeks. His top speed is non-existent. Yeah, I mean, I think I can hit 15 miles an hour.
13.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
I think I can
hit
15.
You think you can beat him?
Right. I mean, not in general. But, like, right now with whatever's going on with him, it's really concerning. I mean, the next couple weeks, what do you do?
I feel like you're stuck playing him. Yeah, I mean, the snap count was at least at 80%. But there are a handful of these running backs you don't know what to do with. I mean, this next guy. I am flabbergasted. I have no James Conner. James Conner went 6 for 27 in this game. Okay? He had 4 catches for 5 yards. James Conner played the same snaps that Michael Carter played. James Conner had 6 carries and Kyler Murray passed the ball 45 times. James Conner, I didn't see him on the field in the second half. I'm sure he was there maybe once or twice, but he legitimately had no carries.
He only played 42% of the snaps, and it seems like right now with the system, he is not the... If you're down a lot, he's not that guy.
I mean, that is – he's got Pittsburgh in the bye week. Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
When they – yeah, they just didn't go to running backs.
Can you play him?
This is a tweet from Jared Smola. This was through the first 3 quarters of week 12. Connor was 6 carries, 4 targets. DeMarcado was 3 carries. Michael Carter was 1 carry. So, I mean, they were not – utilizing the position.
But that is a fundamental change from what happened at the end of last year where he was on the field all the time and he caught the ball better. He literally was – I mean, I think when you watch the games last year with the volume in the receiving game and the quality of receptions, he was one of the best pass-catching running backs in football.
Mm-hmm.
And now the team is saying, I've drawn up third down for DeMarcado and Michael Carter.
I mean, he still had 5 targets in this game, which is great for a running back. I think you don't know how much of the fourth quarter being really, really down and out was protection, was, oh, it's, you know, you're not our 2-minute drill guy. I don't know, but going on the road to Pittsburgh, that is not an offense that scares me. I know that Arizona has a bad defense and they are the cure to a lot of woes out there, but I think James Conner's a fine play this coming week. Pittsburgh's not been phenomenal against the run.
So, okay. Yeah, it was as somebody who was watching for something from James Conner, it was a tough one to watch, but I hope you're right. I hope he's involved. This team has got the second pick in the draft right now, and I just wonder if they're working other guys out or what. But Joe Mixon,
Cincinnati.
This was a monstrous dud of a game.
Cincinnati is broken. If you didn't watch the game and you're just only looking at like Jamar Chase's stat line, you're like, okay, I can live with that.
Two tip passes.
Yeah, over half of his production was on two
accidental
tip passes. So it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach Charba, meh.
Yeah.
Charbust.
I mean,
his volume was fantastic. Yes. Four targets, 14 carries, 88% in snaps. He led all NFL running backs. It was exactly what you want. It wasn't efficient, effective, great for fantasy. It was against the San Francisco 49ers. So you go, well, how much of that was just, hey, you're facing a great defense? Or
you mean like Dallas or San Francisco or Philadelphia the next 3 weeks?
Right, yeah, that's the next month.
Just like those last two guys, next week, would you rather play Mixon against the Jags or Charbonnet against Dallas?
Charbonnet.
And I would go Charbonnet.
I'd play Mixon.
Okay.
Charbonnet has had a very interesting ability to have a lot of snaps and no production.
Yeah, but
even when Walker was there.
When Walker was there, he was getting a lot of snaps but not a lot of opportunities, not touching the ball. And now the opportunities are actually up. 21 last week, 18 this past week. I'm going to take that volume and the chance that Seattle scores more than the chance that the Browning-led Bengals score.
Okay. I think that's a tight one.
Yeah, it's
you
it's,
guys, is it tight
I don't
for you?
Want yeah. to start either. Yeah.
Wide receiver duds, we talked about it. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Cleveland-Baltimore coming up. It's going to be tough. DK Metcalf, 9 targets, back to a subpar game. Tyler Lockett, just 3 for 30 as well. So Metcalf, Lockett, and Smith and Jigba, all three were disappointments.
Along with Charbonnet, the
along
Niners.
Along with Seattle.
Yeah, the Niners kept San Francisco, or the Niners kept Seattle to 13 total points in the game.
Well, the wide receiver 5 in weeks 1 through 6, Adam Thielen, has been the wide receiver 44 from weeks 8 on after the bye.
Who knew?
1 catch, 2 yards.
The gas tank ran out.
Are you moving on?
No.
I'm not leaving. I'm not.
Mingo led the team.
Yeah.
I'm not dropping him, but I'm fine looking at
you know,
it was
waiting.
You know, last week, he was at 11 targets, 8 for 74 against Dallas.
DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, both huge disappointing weeks. Cooper can't do much right now, and now he's hurt.
Man, Bananarama got us. He got us so good. Will Levis, you sneaky snook. I mean, you come out that first week when no one was
guns
prepared
blazing.
For you. And
but you were out
like,
of ammo.
Yeah, you made everyone who said you were not good and going to be bad like we did. Look so foolish that first week because it was like, oh, man.
But he's on a winning streak now.
I guess, yeah. Play Carolina more. Yeah, he's not good.
Terry McLaurin continues to disappoint. Deontay Johnson, 4 for 50. Still thought he had a touchdown.
I think he had a touchdown.
I mean, that was.
In college.
No, it was, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the back of the end zone one.
Yeah, where you got to survive the ground.
But to me, it looked like he had caught it, was turning, and then got pushed to the ground.
Yeah,
but
it looked like
a
fumble was caused by the defender after 3 steps. I don't. Obviously, we're wrong.
Yep.
It wasn't a catch. Josh Downs had 13 targets. He had some drops. He had some way off target targets, and he ended up 5 for 43.
It's a shame.
What a bummer.
He's still probably a good player.
Would you have won with Hollywood?
I don't think so, but I didn't look at that because he wasn't actually a consideration. I was
just curious
this
if
morning.
Like all your bench wide receivers would have won you the game.
I told you this morning My plan was to put in Gabe Davis over Josh Downs. Yeah. That was what I meant to do.
I checked your team every single day expecting to see that happen.
And I went to the cabin for the Thanksgiving weekend and lost.
You dummy.
Yeah. Whoops.
Tight ends that let you down. Dalton Schultz just 1 for 2. George Kittle, 3 for 19.
This is what he does.
Jake Ferguson, 1 for 35. Mr. Non-existent in the second half. Dalton Kincaid had 6 targets, 5 for 38. And then they didn't use him again.
Yeah, he looked really good.
And he was out there on every play.
He looked really good. Like the 5 for 38 he got, I thought was really nice. He got overthrown on one of those passes that he, you know, it wasn't his fault and looked good and then disappeared. But it, all while Buffalo scoring and doing great. So you can't really criticize it.
They go into the bye. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gabe Davis. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Isaiah Likely, 4 for 40.
I'm taking that off.
Yeah,
take
that out.
I boo that.
Take that. That's fine.
Waiver wire 4 for 40.
Yeah, yes, fine. That's 6 points. That's fine, Brooks.
We'll take it out.
Take it out, Brooks. It's not likely to win you a week.
No, it isn't.
But it's not likely to lose you one either.
Yeah, I mean, you. I mean, it's certainly not.
Oh, like you would have lost by 0.84 if you played Hollywood.
Oh, all right. Good.
Okay.
Crazy. We didn't talk about Hollywood, but that Arizona game.
Oh, Kyler, I guess he had a rushing touchdown.
That was one of the most abysmal offensive performances I've ever seen. Everyone wants to blame just the offensive line on it. And I'm like, Kyler was inaccurate.
Bad. Yeah.
All right. Did we forget anybody? Looking over there.
No. I mean, who knows? If we forgot him, we will never know.
All right, we have a waiver show tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. If you want to do something to help the show out, make sure you click that follow button on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. You can check out the community at jointhefoot.com. Lots of perks over there for people supporting the show. And, you know, keep fighting for those playoff spots. We'll be here to help you out. That'll do it for today's episode of the podcast. For Andy, Mike, and Jason, thank you for joining us. Catch you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.